In early April, we spoke with Inder Singh, founder of Kinza Health. They make the Kinza Smart Thermometers, the ones that connect to an app so users can upload their health data to the internet and make it available to scientists who can then track disease outbreaks as they start through clusters of fevers. And because the thermometers are used at home, days or weeks before a patient sees a doctor, this data can predict hotspots 2 to 3 weeks before the CDC can. It's been very effective for flu and now COVID-19. When we spoke, Kinza had already predicted the massive outbreaks in New York and Boston. So months later, with states reopening and yesterday's record daily high of new cases nationwide, more than 36,000, more than the last single day high in April, we're checking back in with Inder Singh to find out what he sees now. Inder joins us from San Francisco by Skype. Inder, welcome back.
Thank you for having me.
And first, let's remind people how this works. You caused quite a bit of excitement. I ordered my Kinza thermometer. It took a long time to get here because so many people flocked to get these because they wanted to be part of this data. But for those who are thinking, wait a minute, I don't want my boss to know I have a fever. I don't want anyone. This is anonymous, right? It's just the information about a fever, not who has it.
That's right. Everything is aggregated and anonymous. So if you go to healthweather.us, which we launched in mid-March, what you'll see there is fever levels across the country, the percentage of people that are ill. It's not possible to identify an individual based on a population level calculation like that.
Yeah, well, public health officials, including Peter Hotez at Baylor in Texas, William Schaffner in New York, very excited about your data. After states shut down their economies, your thermometers showed that social distancing was working. Why? What were you seeing?
Yeah, we were seeing within 3 to 7 days, declining levels of fever. It showed that people's sacrifices at home were working. People should know that they were helping to save others' lives. And we were thrilled to be able to contribute that data. Because until that point, there really wasn't a good data source to say, is it working? This was essentially a real-time data source to say, it is working.
Yeah. That was closings. Now, reopenings, political rallies, summer parties.
You know, on May 29th, we saw that Arizona was having higher than expected levels of transmission. So, you know, taking a step back for just a moment, our data is not just providing information about fever levels across the country. There's other components of that data. We've unpacked the data and looked at transmission rates. How fast is an illness spreading in a local area? And similar to what you see on Health Weather, where we look at fever levels and subtract out what you'd normally expect from cold and flu, we're doing the same with transmission levels. We're seeing transmission levels and we're subtracting out what you'd normally expect for cold and flu. And that is often indicative of COVID-19. So we now have two different but related measures to identify outbreaks early. And that transmission data may very well be an even stronger signal and an even earlier signal. And we're publishing some of this information with academic partners. But that helped us to identify on May 29th early signs that we were seeing infection spread in Arizona. We also saw and announced on June 9th, Florida and Texas. We're seeing higher than expected levels of transmission indicative of an outbreak. And last week, we saw the same with Oklahoma and Missouri.
Well, and we just to be clear, these bumps that you were seeing were more than 9 days before the COVID case spikes in those states. You're seeing the temperatures go up before people, you know, are getting tested, before the testing's catching up with that.
Yeah, that's right. We're seeing the temperatures go up. We're seeing the transmission rates go up. And the reason for that is we get the people in their home from their first sign or symptom of an illness. One thing that is a challenge in this environment is, you know, the healthcare system doesn't see mildly symptomatic spread. We do. We get to see when someone gets sick, but perhaps never enters the healthcare system because they don't get sick enough. And they may pass that to a family member, someone they're in close proximity to, who might have no symptoms at all, but it's still a carrier. And then a third person gets sick and finally gets sick enough to enter the healthcare system. The healthcare system is delayed in terms of its ability to pick up cases because of those delays. The healthcare system sees someone on average 5 to 8 days after they get symptoms. But remember, that's when they get severely sick enough to go into the healthcare system. They may have had a family member that gave it to them even days earlier than that, and never got sick enough to enter the healthcare system. So it's all these delays that compound which is why the outbreak is going from a flame to an inferno before the healthcare system can detect it. And we get to detect it when it's still a flame. And the whole idea here is, if you can contain an outbreak early, you have a chance at stopping it, and you isolate it. When you see an outbreak in a particular location in a state, well, that's indicative of like, well, I need to start deploying my PPE, send the test kits in, send the PPE in, send the virologists in, possibly implement social distancing areas, but in a more isolated, geographically pinpointed way than a broad way, right? And those are the kinds of steps that we can take as a system. And frankly, we should be alerting people in those local areas about spread, right? Knowledge is power. In our experience, we've been doing this for a very long time with flu, for the past 7 years with flu. When you alert people that there's a spike in flu, they take action. They stay indoors. They use disinfectants more. So there's multiple levels of actions that can be taken when you can detect it that early.
So, yeah, I mean, it could be as simple as people, you know, public health officials saying, hey, we've got an outbreak here. We can see it because of these fevers that are being tracked. So everybody be aware. I mean, it can be that simple. Last week, your data was showing rises in Louisiana, Missouri, Maine, Oklahoma. Maine since then has reimposed some restrictions. Oklahoma, as you forecasted, has become one of the country's hotspots. So look ahead. You know, what are you seeing right now that we might hear about in 2 weeks?
The places that we're most concerned about right now that where we're going to, it's Oklahoma and Missouri. Those are the places we're most concerned about right at this moment in terms of new outbreaks developing. We remain concerned about Texas because we're seeing increasing transmission levels there. We're not seeing those level off. So those are three of the places where, you know, I'm watching and I'm concerned.
Can you see, for instance, the effect of a president's rally?
We don't have the ability to attribute why the spread is occurring. And, you know, in Oklahoma itself, we certainly are able to see state level illness. We don't have enough sensors in that particular state to really start isolating it down to very specific geographies. We need more. We need more sensors in the state to be able to do pinpointed, geographically precise outbreak detection.
That reminds me, you've given away a ton of these thermometers. They are for sale also at the website. We'll link people up at herenow.org. You know, what you're saying is you need as many people as possible to participate.
That's exactly right. The more people that participate, the more pinpointed we can get with the outbreak detection. I'm thrilled that we're partnering with a number of states, Connecticut, Oregon, Idaho, and other cities as well. Philadelphia announced us as part of the reopening plan. Colorado is doing a demonstration project as well. And we're partnering with those states to get more thermometers out to people, including underserved communities, and especially underserved communities who might seek care and treatment later. But that's right. Mm-hmm. The more thermometers out there, the better the hotspotting abilities. And just to put a fine point on it, this is not just a benefit for the communities, for the health system and for the government. This is a benefit to the individuals, right? You get to see, you get the data, you get to see whether there's illness going around your local community. You get tools to help you understand how to respond to your illness, right? The thermometer connects into a medical guidance system and provides you with age-based medical guidance. And again, you get to see the data. If you participate, you see it.
That's Inder Singh of Kinza Thermometers. We'll link you up to lots of information at hereandnow.org. Inder, you've been doing this work for years, and now scientists, researchers, policymakers are scrambling to get their hands on it. I'm just betting that's a good feeling in the middle of a pandemic.
You know, I'm sad that it took a pandemic to bring to light how important this work on early warning is. I'm thrilled that we survived as an organization to get here. I mean, it's been 8 years. We've been working on this day and night for flu and proving the concept. I'm thrilled that it's working. But let me be clear, people need to use the data. This can't be just research projects. This can't be projects that are in hindsight. We have a ton. We have more than 150 scientists and public health officials that are looking at the data. But what's unclear is who's using them, which decision makers are actually using the data to implement policies. This is not a big leap of faith. This is not, if you see fever levels rise in a particular area, you know it's an outbreak. And if it's above and beyond what you'd expect for cold and flu season, you know it's an unusual outbreak. Today, that's COVID-19. And I want to make sure that politicians, governors, mayors, you know, policymakers are using the data. I can't imagine how hard it is for a governor, for a mayor to make decisions that essentially pits livelihoods versus lives. And I can't imagine how hard that decision has been made. And they're doing it on the basis of expert advice. but they're doing it without real-time data to know whether their actions are actually having an impact. And I want to be clear, they have data. It's available. It's at healthweather.us. Call us. We will provide whatever data cuts we can. Use it. It needs to be used in this current crisis. Mm-hmm. This is the whole reason we started the company, is to detect, predict, and help respond to outbreaks. And this is an opportunity for us to use the data to have a really massive public health impact. And so, you know, we're exhausted, but we're thrilled that we can help. But again, the data needs to be used. It cannot just be a research project. People need to be using the data.
Don't make the Kinza thermometer the new politicized health weapon, as was done with the mask. Inder Singh, thank you so much.
Thank you. I appreciate it.